I want to speak to you tonight on incredible ways to waste your life. You know, since the beginning of time, since the time of Adam and Eve, men and women have found incredible ways to waste their life, not only incredible ways, but also incredible numbers of ways to waste their life. And all the time from Adam and Eve right down to this minute, there are millions and millions of people who have wasted their lives. Now, last night I watched the news and saw an incredible display of what I'm talking about. Last night there was some more on the news about O.J. Simpson. What an incredible, sad story and an incredible waste of life. And then also on Nightline last night with Ted Koppel, there was the story of Aldrich Ames, who was a U.S. CIA agent, who turned over the names to the Russians, and as a result of that, a number of secret agents were executed. What an incredible waste of a life. And maybe you heard the news, and there's more on it last night, about the two young men out here, just teenagers from Little Axe, who raped their schoolmate and then killed her, 17, 18 years of age, facing either a death sentence or probably for the rest of their life in prison. What an incredible waste of life. And how incredibly stupid. And so there are all kinds of ways that people are wasting their life. But I want you to know that right here on the campus, this campus is filled with many more respectable ways to waste your life. And there are people all around you that are doing that. And I want to talk with you tonight just about some of the ways that's being done. And one of the ways it's being done is with the computer. You know, what a tremendous blessing this technology has been. I don't know a great deal about the computer, but at least I'm for them. I wrote my little message on it, okay? I'm not against computers. They're tremendously helpful. And you know of some of the tremendous advantages, but some of you are not very aware of the downside of computers. You know, it all started, really, a lot of the thing that's wound up on the computer started many, many years ago with television and video games. And I want to read you something. In a book called Three Generations, and it's about your generation, and it says the popularity of video games is enormous. Atari founder Nathan Bushnell introduced the first video game in 1972. The name of it was Pong. It was just a simple tennis game. It sold over 6,000 units in its first year. Atari's all-time top seller came in 1989 with the Super Mario Brothers 3. Some of you know about that. It sold more than 7 million copies in the first year. More recently, their Mortal Kombat game sold nearly 4 million in the first 6 months it was out. The video game market grew tremendously from 1980s to 1992, and then they decided in America to make a search to determine what was the largest installed base of chip-driven devices in the United States, in the U.S. homes. Surprisingly, it was not found in the IBM computer or the Macintosh computer or even the chip-driven appliances in a home, but they were found in the 48.8 million Nintendos. Now, so we've had many of the things that were once out on TV and on videos are now on their computers. You know, in reading about your moms and dads, the boomer generation, they had three choices when it came to TV. There were three national channels. Well, now there are literally hundreds of channels, and not only that, but all of you know how to operate VCRs, right? And so you're not limited. You're not limited in your selection of movies because you can have literally thousands of selections any day you want to watch a movie. But what has happened is that as a result of the computers, many people are spending great hunks of their life just playing computer games. And not only that, but even things that you might think worthwhile. Recently, a survey on one of the campuses in this country, Dartmouth University, found the average student got 30 email messages a day on their computer. 30 messages a day. Last night, I heard Sandra from the back bedroom, "Honey, you need to come back here." "And why?" "Well, I needed to check the email." And so we spend 30 minutes probably just email. You know, now when you get home, check the mail. You know what that means? It used to mean you go out, you walk out here, you open a little deal, get it out, come in on the kitchen counter and look through it. But now you got to go check the email too. Now, the problem is they've also found that on many campuses, and some studies have been made, there's tremendous sleep deprivation because of people sitting up half the night playing video games. Now, I just want you to know something. The games are going to get better and better. Let me just make you a promise, okay? They've just started, and they're going to get better and better and better. And if you don't watch out, if you're having problems now, someday you're going to have a tremendous problem. I had a professor I talked with, OU professor, just this week. He said, you know, I mean, this is what the professor told me. He said, "I'm addicted. I've got one game." He said, "I'm addicted. I just can't stay away from it." You know, also, now on our computers, you know that it's now possible, guys, with a pornography. And there are going to be times that you're going to be discouraged, that you're going to be alone, and you're going to be just surfing just to see what's on there. And if you don't watch out, some of you are going to have tremendous problems in the future because you're going to get hooked. And so I just want to say to you, watch out for that which God intended to be a great blessing for your life by spending all kinds of time on it. Am I saying you can never play a computer game? I haven't said that. But I'm saying that you need to think through your priorities. You need to think through what you can do. And you need to be very, very careful. You know what they've also found in this country? Students are not getting to know the people up and down their hall. Here's a student on a campus with 30,000, I read about recently, 30,000 students on his campus. He's spending 14 hours a day on his computer. As soon as he comes in from class, he gets on his computer and talks to some kid halfway across the country on another computer. I mean, there are even people trying to get married that way. I mean, you wouldn't believe what's going on. And instead of going down the hall and talking to people, they're just getting on a computer. You can stay, that's very safe. Nobody knows you. You can stay hidden, and you can communicate that way. And the sad, sad thing is that it's going to lead a lot of people to be very, very backward socially in a lot of other ways. Don't let the computer become a real hindrance. Let me ask you another question. Now you think about this. Do you spend more time reading the Bible or playing video games? Let me tell you, anything, I don't care what it is, anything that becomes more important than your relationship to God is an idol. So be careful. Mike?
What I want to share with you now is can pretty much be titled How Mike McGuire Decided to Find an Incredible Way to Waste His Life. See, I grew up with video games. I had an Atari. I had a Nintendo. I had all kinds of video games. And if I couldn't buy them, I would borrow them. And that was just kind of how I decided that I wanted to spend my time. But by the time I hit high school, I didn't have a computer and I didn't have a Nintendo anymore because I got grounded so many times that my parents kind of took it away from me. And so growing up through high school, I didn't have a computer, and so I didn't waste my time there. There was other things to do, and I had fun other ways. The first 2 years of college, I had some friends that had computers, and I played on them every once in a while, but not really that bad. But then the start of this year, in August, my dad bought me a computer and it was fast. It was really fast, and I could play anything. Any game that I wanted to play, I could play, and so I did. And I bought games, and I borrowed games, and I played games. Now, kind of a cycle started where I would play a game until my eyes hurt and lose a lot of sleep, and then I would decide, this is really bad for me. And then I'd get rid of the game, and then a week later I would start on a different game. And that was kind of my cycle up until Christmas. And then at Christmas, I had a great Christmas break, no computer because I left my computer in the dorm room. It was fantastic. But over the Christmas break, the last week before I came back, I bought a game. And I got back and I played it, and I loved it. I loved it. It was great. And I played a lot. I played a whole bunch. I played at least twice as much as the amount of hours I got of sleep. My eyes were red, and I wasn't doing so hot in school for the first week. Good thing it was only the first week. About 2 weeks ago, after Vespers one night, I was tired of what I was doing. I was tired of playing the games. God had been saying to me, Mike, get rid of the sin. Because all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things are beneficial. And I knew it was hurting me. And I knew it was keeping me from God. And so what I did is I came in back from Vespers one night and I took a walk. I walked around and I talked to God. And I decided, now's the time to put my faith into action. And so I did. Went back to my room, took the game they had bought 2 or 3 weeks before that, $50 game, took it and broke the CD. And I hung it on my wall as a trophy. And I could have taken the game and I could have given it to somebody else, or I could have just sent it home where I didn't have a computer. But that would have just been like delaying the problem or putting it off to the side. I wanted to say, God, this is what I'm willing to give up for you. This is what I want to do for you. And so I did. And I can tell you that I still do play computer games, but not near as much as I did, and it's not really an addiction anymore. Every once in a while, I take 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and play a game, and it's okay. But I'm pretty much done with computer games as far as that, and I hope to be done with them completely pretty soon here. But I can tell you that you don't want to waste your life with computer games. They'll hurt you. They will make your eyes bloodshot and kill your grades, and it really dries up your time with God. I still had my times with God because I made that a priority a long time ago, but they were dry and they were barren. So let me just encourage you guys that if you are wasting your life with computers, please don't. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. Let me tell you another incredible way I've seen people waste their lives. It's called just hanging out. Just hanging out. Just hanging out with your friends. You ought to spend some time with your friends. God's given them to you. Relationships are very important. But let me ask you, when you have a little spare time, what do you first think about? Just hanging out with your friends? Or do you think, well, maybe God has given me some time, extra time to spend with Him? Watch out. You know, I notice even Christian friends, many times they get together, they'll spend the evening, and rarely will anybody ever think, well, maybe we ought to pray together. Why don't we spend some time praying? Or maybe we could spend a little time in the Word together. But instead, let's go get a video. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's just hang out. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Have time with your friends. It's okay to watch a movie sometimes. But, you know, when you have free time, your heart turns naturally to what you most love. And so when you have free time, if you never think about, great, boy, I've had a hard week. Friday night's coming. What do you normally think about? Wow, what can I go do? Who can I go do it with? Who can I go hang out with? Have you ever thought God might want you to say, why don't you just kind of lock your door and spend the night with me? Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time reading. Spend some time with a Christian book. Watch out letting even your hangout time become an idol. Anything that's more important to you than your relationship to God is an idol. Now let me tell you another one. It's called entertainment. We are an entertained generation. I just read last night where a certain basketball player during his career will make $200 million. You know why? Because people will go pay a lot of money to watch him play, or they'll watch it on television and sell a lot of ads. And we live in a society in which we have been so entertained. The sad thing is many of you grew up this way because maybe mom wasn't with you and your primary babysitter was a TV, and so you've been entertained from the time you were a little bitty kid. But you know why any nation becomes entertainment oriented? Why any nation becomes entertainment oriented? It's because they have a shriveled soul. And if your primary deal is always to be entertained, you could not proclaim any louder than if you shouted it from the housetop, "I have a shriveled soul." You know, students today do not want time to be alone, to think, to read, to pray. The quietness always has to be filled with noise and activity. Anything, just anything, to keep you from getting alone and thinking about your life and your relationship to God and where you're headed. Anything to keep you from being alone in the presence of God. That is why music is such a big industry today, because people don't like quiet. If you've lived in the dorms, you've already discovered that. People don't like quiet. Why? Because they have a shriveled soul. Because they're not growing, they're not developing, and you won't in the midst of just noise and busyness. It takes solitude. It takes time alone. It takes quiet to build a man of God. Some of you were at Passion 95 and you heard John Piper, and I think you were just blown away at a man, and he's not an old man, a fairly young man, and the tremendous knowledge and the quality that he has. But he told us in a meeting, he said, for 24 years we've not had a television. So when he comes in and when he gets home, they don't watch television. He reads, he studies, he meditates, he thinks. And so therefore, he has something to offer. So be careful, enjoy yourself, but watch out if you always have to be entertained. Let me tell you another thing that I've noticed, and this is very close to it. Another incredible way to waste your life. It's called the pursuit of fun. Play and fun are very important to a child. They say play is to a child what work is to a man. And it's very important that a child play. But as that child gets older and as that child grows into a man, there should be a change from play into work as to what is most meaningful. I'm reading a fantastic book called A 48-Hour Day. And one of the things the man indicates in the book that he's learned in life is he said, I have a tremendous life, a very full life, tremendous guy. And one of the reasons, he said, I work a lot. And a lot of people, when they get to Saturday, think, oh, man, it's a day off. I don't have to do anything. He said, I love Saturdays because I can get a lot done. Now, there are times that you need to relax, but you need to be real, real careful that fun doesn't become the center of your life. And the older you get, you're going to find far more satisfaction in doing things that are important and doing them with excellence, and that will bring far more satisfaction to you than it will be just seeking to have fun. In our day, everything is supposed to be fun. I mean, fun reigns. Your job is supposed to be fun. School is supposed to be fun. Your professors are even supposed to be fun professors. Fun, fun, fun. Let's have fun. Now, as I said, this may come as a shock to some of you, but you're going to find far more deep satisfaction as a result of work and doing things that you ought to do when you ought to do them than you will just having fun. For example, you have a term paper to do. Who likes to do term papers? Well, there may be somebody, but I don't think I've met them yet. But the person that decides I'm going to do it, it's something they ought to do, they get on it, they get it finished, and a week before it has to be handed in, they've already completed it. And Proverbs 13:19 says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And so once you do what you ought to do when you ought to do it, you're going to find a deep satisfaction and a sweetness coming into your soul. So have some fun, but also don't make the pursuit of fun your goal. Spend time with the Lord. Right now you're young. You're building a foundation for your life. A lot of the hard things that may come in later in life, or how you respond to those may very well depend on what you do in the next few weeks. And getting the depth and the quality in your life, the time with God, such that you can be the man God wants you to be. Take some time to read. I'm amazed at the tremendous books and Christian biographies and things that you never get around to reading. Why? Because so much of it is there's a tremendous pursuit of fun. And you're going to find that the older you get, the hollower that becomes. Now, I love to have fun, and I believe you ought to have some fun, and you need some relaxation. But when you go after what's really important and do your work, you're going to find that you'll have far greater satisfaction. Now, there are other ways you could waste your life, but I just want to add one more, and then we'll be through. You know, one of the greatest ways to waste your life is just don't seek to get to know God. That's the greatest one I know. Just don't seek to get to know God. You know, there's a short little verse tucked away over in 2 Chronicles, and it's about the life of King Rehoboam. And in 2 Chronicles 12:14, it says, he did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil because he didn't set his heart to seek the Lord. Do you know why Ulrich Ames did evil? Because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. You know why the two little boys, 17 and 18 or so out here at Little Axe, you know why they did wrong? Because they did not set their heart to seek the Lord. You say, oh, but one of them just turned 18. That's right. And that's scary, isn't it? If you don't set your heart to seek the Lord, you will waste your life. Set your heart now to seek Him, to get to know Him, to walk with Him, walk in fellowship with Him. Now, is there anything wrong with having a computer? Absolutely not. Anything wrong with playing a computer game sometimes? No. But if it's addictive, there's something very wrong with it. And maybe you ought to function by priorities. Maybe you ought to think, okay, I can sit down and I can play a game for 15 minutes, but at the end of 15 minutes, regardless of where I am, I'm up and out of here. I have other things to do. Is there anything wrong with hanging out with your friends? No, I hope you hang out with your friends. But I hope you don't hang out with your friends to the expense that you'll wind up out in the world with a tremendous opportunity to have a ministry, but you won't have because you didn't spend time getting to know your God. I hope you won't seek entertainment. I hope you won't make the pursuit of fun your lifetime goal. But that your goal will be, I am going to seek the Lord. I'm going to get to know Him. I'm going to spend some of this time when I have more time than you're going to have ever in your life. You know, not very many people at 3 o'clock in the afternoon can decide what they want to go to do if they're out in the world with a job. It's a great time. for you to spend time with Him. It's a great time for you to get to know Him. I want to say one thing. We have spring break coming up. You know, one of the greatest things you can do during that time is when you have some time, you can decide what you want to do with it. Use that time to try to really grow as a Christian. I hope you'll consider going to Glen Eyrie. I doubt that very many of you in this room have anything that would help you more in your walk with God than to take that trip. And we want to help you if we can. Now let's pray together. Father, You've given us each one a life, and You said someday each one of us will give account of our lives before You. Thank You that You sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross to take care of our sin problems so that we do not have to be addicted to computers or anything else in this life. And Father, I pray that we would not take the great blessings You've given us, the tremendous blessings of technology, of friends, of entertainment and fun, and all these things, and cram our lives so full of those things and let our souls just shrink into a little corner. But God, help us to seek You first and use all of these other things under Your lordship and under Your blessing, and that we would be a people who walk with You and are prepared for life and are prepared to walk with You and prepared to minister to others. God, make us all we can be, because we prayed in Your name. Amen.